This is Ted Kennedy. It's time for a fresh start in the war on drugs. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, in the war on drugs, just say no is not enough, especially from an administration that couldn't say no to Noriega. Fighting drugs and drug abuse demands more resources, not less, for law enforcement. And as Jesse Jackson has taught America, fighting drugs also depends on the difficult daily work of educating our children, not occasional White House photo opportunities that don't stop a single shipment of narcotics from coming into our country. The drug issue demonstrates the close connection between our programs at home, Al, and our policies abroad. The administration thought General Noriega could help the Contras, so it treated him as a friend, when in fact he was serving the most deadly enemy in our hemisphere, the international drug cartel. And by the way, Al, when it comes to Noriega, there is still a big unanswered question. What did George Bush know, and when did he know it?
Well, Ted, you've done it again. You must burn up the midnight oil figuring out how the actions of screwballs around the world can somehow be blamed on Ronald Reagan or George Bush. There isn't much doubt that Noriega is a drug-running thug. There's plenty of evidence of that. Good heavens, it's our administration that indicted him. This is also the administration that requested $538 million for the next fiscal year for the Drug Enforcement Agency, a $44 million increase. We're not just telling young people to say no to drugs. We're financing a very big, heavy-ticket item to fight drug trafficking. So now you peer through your partisan-colored glasses and again pick on the administration instead of joining us in condemning this corrupt drug kingpin in Panama. This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the need for independent investigation of members of Congress. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. When Congress passed that good, tough, high-minded, independent counsel legislation, we exempted ourselves. How will Ted Kennedy justify that one? We'll face off after this. Ted, with a great bluster of self-congratulation, Congress retooled the law providing for independent investigation of members of the executive branch. But the Democratic majority in both houses of Congress refused to include members of Congress in the bill. How timely, because a number of congressional Democrats would right now be the targets of any special prosecutor teams. One member used an aide to write a book, and then allegedly pocketed over $50,000 from a sweetheart publishing deal. I sure don't claim that all Republicans are lily white, but I do say that members of Congress have to earn the public's trust. Ted, do you really think that's what we do when we shield ourselves from any possible investigation of wrongdoing?
That's hogwash, Al. Congress is subject to the same criminal laws everyone else is. Look what's happening in the WedTech case. A congressman has been indicted for conflict of interest by the same Justice Department that won't investigate Attorney General Ed Meese. Under our system of separation of powers, the executive branch has the responsibility for law enforcement. You need special prosecutors to investigate the executive branch. Otherwise, they'd go through the charade of investigating themselves. But you don't need special prosecutors to investigate the legislative branch. The Justice Department is all too eager to do that job whenever they think they have a member of Congress in their sights. You haven't forgotten Abscam, have you, Al? Right-wing smokescreens about nailing Congress can't hide your real problem, Al. The Reagan years are in the Guinness Book of Records for sleaze. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on restoring U.S. ties with North Vietnam. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. A bipartisan coalition of liberals and conservatives in the Senate is calling for U.S. diplomatic ties with North Vietnam. Even Senator Al Simpson is going along, so there must be something to it. In a moment, we'll face off. Al, the Vietnam War ended 13 years ago, but the White House and your Rip Van Winkle friends in the right wing still seem to think it's going full blast. Now, Arizona Republican Senator John McCain says it's time to bury the hatchet. He's introduced a bill that you and I are sponsoring, Al, to make a start on restoring relations. The idea is to set up an interest section in Hanoi and Washington to deal with the issues that still divide us. Our 2,400 MIAs, the thousands of Asian American children left behind by our servicemen in Vietnam, and Vietnam's unconscionable occupation of Cambodia. John McCain deserves credit for his leadership, Al, but the White House is dug in against it. It's your administration, Al. What's their problem?
Ted, I have always felt that we should keep the lines of communication open with Vietnam, and these intersections are a way to do that. The tragic issue of POWs and MIAs is one that causes deep pain for the family members in our country. General John Vesey, President Reagan's personal envoy to Vietnam, has secured the return of 58 sets of remains. It is such an important part of the grieving and healing process that we be able to bury our dead. That is only one of the most real issues that the two countries must discuss. You describe others. Chinese and Vietnamese tensions have caused outbreaks of shooting, and that is another concern in that part of the world. We must deal frankly and honestly with these issues, and a formal arrangement for doing so is an awfully good next step. And the President will be aboard. This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Will Ted Kennedy keep hanging on to his old views about the Unworkable War Powers Act? Or will he recognize the need to scrap that baby and start all over again? We'll face off in a moment. Ted, time and again, a majority of Republicans and Democrats in the Senate plainly refused to invoke the War Powers Resolution with respect to the Persian Gulf. Why don't you just admit that the purpose of the law is only to tie the president's hands in dealing with American foreign policy? The President of the United States is charged under the Constitution with the conduct of our foreign policy. He has consulted regularly and clearly with the leaders of Congress on the situation in the Persian Gulf. That's why your dogged efforts to invoke the war powers have consistently failed. This act would only send a signal to the irritated Iranians that the Persian Gulf is fair game. How about tightening your grip on reality, Ted, instead of on our president?
Al, what you need to get a grip on is the Constitution. You just mangled the War Powers Clause, which the Founding Fathers wrote to restrict the power of the president to take the country into war. Congress, not the president, makes the final decision on war and peace. All the War Powers Act does is insist on the constitutional power of Congress to declare war. Congress isn't tying the president's hands, Al. The Constitution is. The Persian Gulf proves the point. President Reagan defied the War Powers Act and refused to consult Congress. He acted entirely on his own and injected U.S. combat forces into the war between Iran and Iraq. President Reagan should be trying to settle that war, not escalate it. It's deja vu, Vietnam all over again. That's why the War Powers Act was passed, Al, and that's why we should apply it to the Persian Gulf now, before it's too late. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Welfare reform is on the way. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the Senate has just completed action on worthwhile welfare reforms. One of the most important is a crackdown on fathers who refuse to pay child support and dump their responsibility on government. We'll deduct the support payments from their wages, just like taxes, and a new interstate computer system will track deadbeat fathers who cross state lines. We'll also help the millions on welfare who want to work by providing decent job training and offering assistance with the cost of child care and health care while they prepare for jobs. But there are clunkers in the bill, too, Al. It's wrong to deny welfare to teenage mothers who refuse to live at home with their parents. Many teenagers are afraid to reveal the abuse they suffer at home. You're driving them into the streets with nowhere to turn for help. That's not welfare reform, Al. It's right-wing ideology, and it has no place in federal law.
Ted, you sure fit the classic stereotype of the little brother. You stand there on the sidelines until you see something that looks good to you, and then you say, "Hey, me too." I also hope we can reach a compromise overhaul of the nation's welfare system. We need to spend our bucks and expend our efforts on programs that actually do put people back to work. Able-bodied young persons should contribute to their own support. Tax takers can't outnumber taxpayers. There's no reason why a 28-year-old mother of children, age 3 and older, shouldn't be working to help her own family. None. I've been talking about thoughtful bipartisan welfare reform for months, Ted. You always poo-poo these back-to-work programs as being so typically Republican. Well, I'll come down hard on the side of increased employment, pride in working, and lower welfare rolls any old day, Ted. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next with a salute to Howard Baker. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Howard Baker has served this country with such remarkable distinction. Surely Ted Kennedy and I can agree on that one when we face off in a moment. Instead of facing off today, Ted, how about facing in the same direction? With a crisp salute of thanks to our fine mutual friend Howard Baker. He served as our Republican leader, and as the Senate Majority Leader, he was the glue and the grease that made the whole thing hum. He retired from the Senate in 1984 to take up law practice again. But when President Reagan, his president, asked him to become chief of staff, he swiftly answered the call. He kept the White House on a steady course while assuring a full investigation into the Iran-Contra affair, and he was right there at his side as President Reagan participated in those two historic and highly successful U.S.-Soviet summit efforts. Howard Baker will now depart the public scene again, Ted. He goes out with the deep respect and sincere admiration of a very grateful nation. Godspeed to him.
Congratulations, Al. Sometimes you do say the right thing instead of the far right thing. As the old saying from the days of George C. Marshall goes, there's no end to what you can accomplish in Washington if you're willing to give someone else the credit. That's the way I think of Howard Baker. He deserves praise for his service to the president and the nation. He's one of the ablest and best-loved men in Washington, and I'm sorry to see him go. He put his own political ambitions aside in 1987, Al, when he agreed to pitch head as President Reagan's chief of staff, at a time when many people felt he wanted to run for president himself. He's shown real courage, too. He took on President Nixon on Watergate. He took on you right-wingers on the Panama Canal Treaty. George Bush could do a lot worse than pick Howard Baker for vice president, Al, and he probably will. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on Congress's latest contortions on the trade bill. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The trade bill just won't stay vetoed. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the battle lines are being drawn in Congress for a new fight over plant closing and another crack at passing the trade bill. The question is whether the administration, burned once on the fairness issue, will reconsider and accept 60 days' notice for workers before plants are closed or massive layoffs are carried out. President Reagan was sandbagged by the right wing into vetoing the first trade bill last month. But the far right position is as untenable as it is unpopular, Al. They think workers have no rights, not even reasonable notice before factories are closed, jobs are lost, and loyal workers are dumped on the street. In a fair administration, Al, the president would have signed the bill the first time around. Workers deserve notice. Their livelihoods are at stake when factories close. Admit it, Al. Your position is anti-worker, pure and simple. It's Reaganomics at its worst, and it deserves to be rejected.
You don't get it yet, do you, Ted? The president's veto of the legislation was sustained by the Senate. You lost. President Reagan has said that with some minor modifications and the tossing out of the plant closing provision, he will sign a trade bill. It's now up to you Democrats, who boast and breastbeat about majorities in both the House and the Senate, to craft a sensible trade bill that makes real strides toward making America more competitive in the foreign markets. And while we're here at the mic, Ted, let's just admit that the emperor does have no clothes. Your standard-bearer, Michael Dukakis, parrots his support for a mandatory federal plant closing law. But as governor of Massachusetts, he never batted an eye when they passed a plant closing law that is anything but mandatory. What's that old business about good for the goose, good for the gander? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on Democratic plans for tax increases. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Democrats across this country are dodging right and left the question of proposed tax increases. You can bet Ted Kennedy's right, or rather left, in the thick of it. We'll face off in a moment. Ted, I couldn't help but notice that photo of you holding court with your apparent Democratic presidential nominee. But I'm wondering just what great counsel you're whispering in Michael Dukakis' ear when it comes down to tax increases. George Bush has already made his solid pledge, no tax increases. In 1984, Fritz Mondale came right up front in favor of hefty tax increases. He lost 49 of the 50 states. Even though you guys are trying so hard to bury it, your Democratic campaign budget plans would raise taxes on both individuals and corporations. And it sure looks like Michael Dukakis will be actually raising taxes in the state of Massachusetts any day now. So do tell us, Ted, what are the real Democratic plans for taxes?
Al, no one in this campaign is itching to raise taxes, and no one is rushing to embrace the T word. But Mike Dukakis is the only candidate with a sensible position. True, he won't rule out the possibility of a tax increase. No serious presidential candidate can make a pledge like that. But Dukakis has said he'll put top priority on chasing down tax dodgers and collecting the billions of dollars in taxes not being paid today. It's wrong to talk about new taxes until tax cheats pay up. Law-abiding taxpayers are paying through the nose today, Al, because too many tax dodgers are getting off scot-free. We all hear these right-wing drums beating, trying to pin the false label of tax extremists on Dukakis. It won't work, Al, especially coming from George Bush. He wants to cut capital gains taxes for the super rich. That's Reaganomics without Reagan, Al, and it won't wash. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again on Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Raising the minimum wage should not be as difficult as raising the Titanic. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, here's a fight a cowboy like you is probably looking forward to. Democrats and Republicans in Congress are heading for a showdown at the minimum wage corral. We're trying to raise the minimum wage for the first time since 1981. After 8 years of Reaganomics, Al, you know who's left behind. The working poor. 5 million men and women who would rather work for a living than live on welfare, even though society refuses to pay them a decent wage. Work should be more attractive than welfare, Al. Why keep the minimum wage so low that it condemns low-income workers and their families to a subminimum subsistence? For 50 years, Al, the minimum wage has been a promise by America that if you work for a living, you won't have to live in poverty. Reaganomics broke that promise, Al, and now Congress has a chance to fix it.
Why, you bet any good cowpoke would look forward to this scrap, Ted. But I'll be different than you. I won't be drawing fast and shooting myself in the foot. Raising the minimum wage will actually cost jobs and raise prices. The facts back me up. You're right. The minimum wage hasn't been raised since 1981. And guess what happened? The percentage of Americans living below the poverty level has decreased. Your demanded increase only causes unemployment as employers are unable to meet rising labor costs and then they cut their workforce. A Congressional Budget Office study says anywhere from 250,000 to 500,000 jobs would be lost, gone. When it costs an employer more to hire his or her help, they raise their prices. Old and poor people won't be able to afford that, Ted. The real goal for all of us is to increase employment. And on that score, Reaganomics hit the bullseye. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on important acid rain legislation. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on giving veterans a fair judicial shake. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. We have a real opportunity to give America's veterans an honest chance to hear their claims in a court of law. Will Ted Kennedy dodge that issue? We'll face off after this. Ted, America's veterans stand almost alone in our society as a group having no access to the federal courts when they feel the Veterans Administration has improperly denied their claim. And on four separate occasions, the Senate has tried to right this wrong. But the bill has been stalled over in the House by some powerful Democrats. Ted, we now have a good chance to force House consideration of this measure when we pass legislation making the VA a cabinet-level agency. That one is moving through Congress like a freight train, so how about loading judicial review on board? One study shows that 72% of the average G.I. Joes favor judicial review. You've paid only lip service to judicial review in the past, Ted. But are you willing to put your vote where your molars are and make it a part of the VA cabinet bill?
Al, I'm all for judicial review of veterans' claims. There's no justification whatever for slamming the courthouse door on millions of veterans and denying them their day in court. Of all the citizens who deserve full legal rights, veterans head the list. You and I wouldn't have any legal rights at all, Al, if veterans hadn't been willing to risk their lives to defend them. Yet a century-old statute is still in the books telling veterans they can't go to court. Instead, they have to press their claims through the massive bureaucracy of the Veterans Administration. In the aftermath of the Civil War, government was too paternalistic towards veterans. People feared they'd be gouged by lawyers and courts, and that an agency procedure could do quicker and better justice. That's fine as far as it goes, Al. Let veterans use the VA to expedite their claims if they want to, but if they can't get justice that way, they deserve their day in court. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the Pentagon procurement mega scandal. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. When it comes to Republican scandals, it doesn't rain, it pours. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, Irangate, Noriegagate, Meesegate have nothing on Pentagate. You Republicans have made a specialty of sleaze, illegality, and public corruption. First, Oliver North, trading arms for hostages, running a secret, illegal war against Nicaragua from the White House basement. Then George Bush playing see no drugs, hear no drugs, speak no drugs, while Noriega runs drugs past the CIA. Ed Meese and his cronies putting the Justice Department up for sale. Now Cap Weinberger presiding over what may be the biggest scandal since Teapot Dome. It's hard even to know what to call it, Al. Pentagate, Pentagongate, Pentahere, and Gongate. Cap Weinberger's basement is like Ronald Reagan's. When the chief cat is AWOL, the mice start playing with guns and dollars. And you complain because Speaker Jim Wright wrote a book?
My Lord, Ted, I thought the Hollywood horror story script writers were on strike. You just rattled off a diatribe rich with hysteria. This is not a political investigation. Most of the individuals under the gun right now are Washington-based defense consultants. Most of those fat cats have no partisan stripe. They just play the system for greed and profit. Others being investigated are longtime senior defense employees. They have been part of the system for years. That's how some of them figured out how to gimmick it so well. Abuse of the public trust is wrong, period. It doesn't matter if that abuse is conducted at the Department of Defense or in a congressional office. I condemn it all. You condemn it only when you smell a partisan advantage. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on more of Daffy Danny Ortega's Broken Promises. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Nicaraguan dictator Daffy Danny Ortega makes a promise, and then he breaks it. Nothing new for him. Will Ted Kennedy let him get away with it again? We'll face off in a moment. Ted, Daffy Danny Ortega's scribbled signature isn't worth the paper he slaps it on, especially when it's an important plan for peace. Congress withheld all military assistance to the freedom fighters in Nicaragua in the fond hope that would encourage peace. What happened? The opposition is continually harassed by police. The Ministry of Justice has been abolished. Censorship laws are still in effect. Between 3,300 and 8,200 political prisoners remain nearly rotting in Nicaraguan jails. The Sandinistas zealously go on with their military buildup of 120,000 in the armed forces. And right next door is Costa Rica with no army at all. They're a bad lot. What dazzling excuses will you be offering for Ortega today, Ted?
Al, Daffy Danny Ortega has nothing on simple Al Simpson. I hold no brief for the Sandinistas, but even you have to admit that the Reagan policy of contra aid was a colossal flop. It was a failure on the battlefield. It cemented Sandinista power, and it made all other problems in the region worse. It finally took President Oscar Arias of Costa Rica to propose a realistic plan for peace. The peace process has its flaws, Al, but it's a mile ahead of contra aid, and it still has a chance to succeed. If you right-wingers stop snorting and pouring the dirt for resumption of contra aid, all you're doing, Al, is raising false hopes by the Contras for U.S. aid and encouraging them to sabotage the peace process. Whatever problems we have in Nicaragua, ContraAid won't help. And Al Simpson playing Oliver North isn't an answer either. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on one of the most important of all civil rights. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Reagan administration has joined the cause of fair housing. Can Senator Al Simpson be far behind? In a moment, we'll face off. Al, the administration has just deserted you hardliners by embracing a civil rights issue and supporting a strong fair housing law. That leaves anti-civil rights zealots like you high and dry on the far right, Al. For years, Congress has been trying to close the loopholes that made the Fair Housing Act of 1968 a toothless tiger without any realistic enforcement procedure. For 20 years, fair housing has been an empty right because it has no remedy. Now, the opposing sides have finally come together in a compromise that allows victims of discrimination to bypass the federal courts and use an expedited procedure to resolve complaints and enforce this fundamental civil right. It's a major breakthrough for fair housing, Al. Even President Reagan has signed on. Come in out of the cold, Al. Shouldn't every American have the right to buy a home or rent an apartment free from discrimination?
Anti-civil rights zealot? Me? As usual, Ted, you left out a tad or two of the most important facts. You liberals in Congress were forced to drop a provision that denied the American property owners the right of a jury trial in a court of law. That was what made the first bill unacceptable. You and your left-wing pals endorsed a system that would have denied a property owner the due process of a jury trial, even though a guy could have been forced to pay fines up to $50,000. So while you were busy stripping U.S. property owners of their constitutional rights, President Reagan was negotiating with the more moderate members of Congress. The bill is now lauded and supported by President Reagan, various civil rights groups, and the National Association of Realtors. And it all happened despite your vigorous and ham-fisted attempts to do a double whammy on the property owners of this country. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. American farmers and ranchers need responsible drought relief, but they may wind up buying a partisan pig in a poke. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, the Reagan administration has spent over $17 billion on agriculture in this year alone, $26 billion last year. But despite that, Congress will be required to pass some form of drought relief for farmers and ranchers in the sun-baked agricultural communities of our land. Unfortunately, some folks in Washington are really licking their chops as that bill moves through. There are amendments to provide all sorts of subsidies for the rural population. Another member wants to provide direct payments to the poor to make up for increased food prices. Given the fact that only 25 cents of each food dollar is actually spent on the farm, that's nothing more than another public assistance program. We shouldn't play political games with this hideous drought. That would make it ever worse.
Al, right now the situation is hanging in the balance. If the rains don't come and the drought gets worse, farmers will need plenty of help this year, and they'll get it from Congress and the states. Ironically, the latest crisis is arriving just as thousands of farmers are getting back on their feet after the low-price, high-cost policies of Reaganomics drove agriculture into bankruptcy in the mid-1980s. So the administration's past policies are partly to blame for the Farm Belt's present precarious state. If disaster does hit this year because of drought, farmers won't be the only Americans to feel the pain. Congress will be quick to provide a helping hand, but we should be just as quick to do the same for others hurting too. The way you talk, Al, your heart couldn't get through the metal detector at the airport. Sure, let's protect farmers against crop failure, but let's also protect the poor against the soaring cost of food. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on nuclear arms control. Let's not give up on START. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The INF Treaty is a worthwhile achievement, but even more important is its promise of better arms control to come. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, before the Moscow summit fades, I hope you'll urge President Reagan to stay the course on arms control and do all he can before he leaves office to nail down the START agreement he almost reached in Moscow. No one wants to rush into a new treaty half-cocked, especially when its nuclear missiles were cocking. but the president made real progress towards a START agreement before the summit. They couldn't quite pull it off, and now they seem to be giving up. That's a mistake, Al. A START agreement for deep reductions in U.S.-Soviet nuclear arsenals would be the crowning achievement of the Reagan years. To borrow from a recent movie, Al, even with your fatal attraction for the nuclear arms race, you won't be able to come out of the tub and kill a START agreement if Ronald Reagan signs it.
Yeah, Glenn Close came out of the tub, but got herself rubbed out. Pretty fatal. But you're right about one part, Ted. President Reagan's policy of peace through strength is just what allowed us to make all that great progress on arms control. But you never did support much of the president's plan to restore our military strength. The Soviet military is stalling our earnest efforts to resolve some key sticking points. The issue of cruise missiles is unresolved. The issue of mobile ICBM missiles is hanging. And the Soviets are always trying to give the whammy to the development of the Strategic Defense Initiative, even though they are now testing their own system. Ted, the president doesn't need any lectures from the left wing when it comes to arms control. He is the proven negotiator. Why don't you help us to encourage the Soviets to negotiate instead of giving the president a bum rap? Into the tub with you, Ted. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on important acid rain legislation. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. We're right on the verge of doing something positive about acid rain. Is Ted Kennedy ready to act, or is he sticking to his unworkable test of purity? We'll face off in a moment. For the past 8 years, a real case of legislative gridlock has kept Congress from passing any clean air legislation. Some in the business community oppose any changes to the Clean Air Act. Some in the environmental community want too many. So Senators George Mitchell and Bill Proxmire and I have been working along on a compromise bill that would substantially reduce sulfur emissions by 10 million tons. Those states that have already seen fit to enact responsible environmental laws would not be subject to any additional requirements. Those states that have allowed the old belchers to keep right on belching would have the greatest burden to bear. Rightly so. These Eastern elitist armchair environmentalists find it so easy to criticize, Ted. But where are you now that we have a compromise package in the works?
Al, that's no compromise at all. It's a sellout. We can't eliminate acid rain with half-hearted, half-baked, half-witted proposals. You're talking like the White House dodo in Doonesbury, Al. All you want is to order a study of how those dead fish get the X's in their eyes. Shame on you, Al. You managed to get through a whole face-off on acid rain without even mentioning the most significant breakthrough on the issue in years, the plan proposed earlier this month by Governors Cuomo of New York and Celeste of Ohio. New York is one of the states whose lakes and forests are being devastated by acid rain, Al, and Ohio is one of the states doing the devastating. Ohio's factories are belching toxic smoke into the atmosphere, and it's falling to earth hundreds of miles away as acid rain. The Cold War between the polluting states and the pollutees may finally be ending, Al, but no thanks to you. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.